Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's the Huddle live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the Huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Arnie's here. Rich is here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Wow. I've been relegated to third.
Yeah, I kind of jumped the order there. Look at that. Wow. Well,
that's because I showed up 30 seconds before the show started.
Where were you? What are you
doing? I was outside grabbing something for my car, and I ended up at the other end of the street getting blown away. So,
what the hell does
that
mean?
It's not really that windy.
Yeah, easy
it
there.
Is. Yeah, it is.
This isn't Nebraska. Yeah. Relax. This isn't Chicago.
It's pretty windy out there. What, at least it is in the 5 minutes I was outside.
Like 20 miles an hour? I was expecting like 75 mile an hour winds. I was prepared for my power to be out. It doesn't mean it won't happen, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are in spots where it's like that, but where I live, it never came.
Let me tell you something. Have you ever seen those videos of planes landing?
Oh.
My goodness, man. Just turn the plane around and let's just go back. Where are we from? Yeah. My goodness.
You ever landed in windy and wintry conditions at Burlington?
In Chicago.
Burlington coming over Winooski?
No, Chicago
I
have.
Oh, my gosh. You're just dangling up there, and the whole thing is going sideways.
Oh,
and there's
sick.
Winooski below you. You can't see it because there's snow.
I'll never forget one time I'm coming into Chicago, and great flight. We're coming in. We're over the runway. I mean, we're literally like maybe 5 seconds from touching the ground, and this pilot, maybe 10 seconds, I don't want to exaggerate, and this pilot punches it and puts it back up, and the plane is shaking, and the plane is just definitely quiet as we're getting back up, and it's shaking, and then he circles around, and he gets on the speaker, and he goes, I'll just be honest with you. I felt that the plane in front of us didn't give me enough room to land. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? What is this, like a parking spot?
Yeah, leave one plane length in front of you.
I'm like, geez. Hey, it's up to you, buddy. It's your call. But geez, that was scary.
Well, when I went out skiing to Jackson Hole out in Wyoming, a few years ago, and the snow was snowing so hard as it does for 6 months out of the year in Jackson Hole, you had no idea where the runway was, and so he punched it. Circled back around, he gets on the intercom, says, well, no, just couldn't find
just
it.
Couldn't
so we'll
find
try it,
it
again. And I mean, Jackson Hole's not a big airport. It's like Burlington. So sure enough, we never knew we were landing until the plane hit the ground.
Did you see the pictures today? So they're doing the Puerto Rico series in baseball.
Yeah,
the Twins
are
playing the Indians. So the Twins, you know, a lot of times when teams go on a road trip, you know, they have a theme when they get on the plane. Like the Red Sox, when they went to Anaheim, had jumpsuit day, so everybody on the plane had to wear a jumpsuit. And the Twins you had to dress like, you know, they were dressed in Puerto Rico. So you got everyone wearing white shoes and flip-flops and straw hats, and they're going out there in this blizzard because the Twins got the Twins got postponed all three games against the White Sox this weekend. And then you have this entire team of people in summertime shirts and flip-flops. They're all getting on the plane as there's just feet of snow next to them.
How happy are the people, the players in Minnesota and Cleveland to be going anywhere but there?
Yeah.
And I mean, you think there was a little bit of a yell of relief when the Red Sox found out yesterday that today's game was canceled and they were heading to L.A.?
That was quick, huh? That was quick.
Well, it's an 11 a.m. game. You got to make the decision earlier, and it would be getaway day.
Well, that's what it was about.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
They're like, hey, let's just cancel this sucker. This 11 o'clock, it's like an albatross around our neck. Let's figure this thing out.
I guarantee you the players in the front office of the Red Sox were right there with whoever the decision maker was on that, saying, please.
Yeah. Well, and this is a team you're playing Baltimore that you can make up any number of games against this year because you're going to see them now 16 more times.
A million times. A few things to get to. I'm going to have to go. I tried to drain my ear out of this wax. It's just not working.
Gross.
Yeah, it's just not working. I'm going to have to see an ear, nose, and throat guy.
Gross.
Except I don't need the nose and throat part. Just the ear. So.
You know, one of our salespeople's girlfriend is an audiologist. So that might be able
what
to
What is
help
that,
you.
Like a...
It's ears.
I mean, is that a real doctor?
Yes.
Study of otters.
Audiologist. Audiologist.
Okay, that sounds like she specializes in hooking up my stereo.
No,
I'm just saying that.
No. Audio.
So it's not like
audiologist.
So it's not like a chiropractor who's not like a real doctor.
No.
Okay,
but please don't say. You remember? It's like the episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. No.
Where
I
Where she goes, you know, I really am a doctor. Well, you're a podiatrist.
Right.
I am a doctor.
Well, that doesn't count. Podiatrists, it's, chiropractors.
It's still a doctor.
I mean, if I could I could be a doctor, then a chiropractor, like, by the end of the day.
And then Jerry dates the woman who is the, what is her exact, she's a dermatologist, and he calls her Pimple Popper MD.
Oh, I love that.
And she got so mad, and she goes, I'm a real doctor. She goes, I call you Pimple Popper MD. And then guy comes up to her and goes, well, she helped solve my skin cancer. And he goes, I guess she is a real doctor.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Well, how about one of those, like, those little suckers, those little rubber
suckers?
I did that.
First of all, my wife had to help me, and she has, like, you know, she has the bedside manner of, like, a bolt through a china shop. I go, that hurts. You're hurting my ear.
Why don't you just do it?
Well, I got to, you know, I need a little help to put the drops in. She's wrenching my neck, putting me in a headlock.
Maybe you have swimmer's ears since you're so athletic.
That could be it. I need an audiologist. Is that what I'm looking for?
Audiologist.
All right, so I'm going to have to figure that. If you know a good one.
I just told you the salesperson's girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm going to have to think about that twice.
Might give you a discount.
Anybody that's associated, you know, with us here, I don't know.
I doubt he's getting a discount. Anyone going into those ears.
You're married to a salesperson here. So
I need more than one. You know, somebody that comes with, you know, highly recommended. What school did they go to? I mean, anybody went to Harvard around here?
Do remember that without salespeople, we're all unemployed.
I know that. I would like to go to a doctor that went to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Arizona.
Or one of those.
So a Tom Fair Tire text line if you know a good ear person. They don't have to be the nose and throat part. 802-655-6672. Why is that all lumped in together? Suppose you're only good at ears.
Exactly.
And you're not good at the nose and throat part.
I don't have an answer for that, and I've often wondered that too.
You know, that's like saying, I'm a fingers and toes guy. You know, what the hell does that mean? You know?
Jeez. You have to be able to play all the positions.
I know.
Okay.
You got to be able to pitch
and hit.
Unbelievable. All right, we got basketball. You're actually showing up to basketball tonight,
I thought,
huh?
This was over.
No, we're just pickup games, you know? It's April now. Now it's just pickup and.
So we're going to get updates on pickup games?
Well, no, but you know what I'm going to do? I want to do a feature on TV, the best places to go play basketball. I might start that tonight.
Okay. On what station and how is this going to happen?
Well, I'll film it on my phone and then I'll make 2244 put it on. I'll go yell at them.
Make them put it on.
Yeah, I'm going to make them put it on, Rich. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, it is a slow sports time locally.
It certainly is. It's certainly, what are the May sweeps, right, for television? Yeah. I'll do some features. They could run it in May sweeps. You know what I was going to do is the worst places in Burlington, not for traffic, but for accidents, like the Winooski Circle.
Ridiculous.
I could put a camera out there for about 10 minutes and see like three accidents.
The curve out in front of St. Mike's on 15.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's always a fun one.
And then the one by where the new CVS is on Williston Road and what's the damn cross street there? Right there by the university. You know what I'm talking about.
Dorset.
Yeah, Dorset. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. If there isn't a car that blows through that red light every 5 minutes.
Well, that's because the reason they run the red light there is the same reason people run red lights at Five Corners in Essex, because they know they have to wait 10 minutes until they get another green.
I ran the red light just a couple of days ago because you don't really see it right. You know, it's like, oh, wait a minute. That's the hell with it. I'm just going to go through it. You know, it's a terrible place. Brady, what's coming up on the show today?
Well, remember, before we get to what's coming up on the show today, this week, remember, tomorrow, trivia night, Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30, half-price appetizers.
Yes.
$2.50 on the Miller Lights, on the Aluminums, $2.50 on the Coors Light bottles, $3 on the Blue Moons. We've also, Wednesday, this will be fun. It's different for us, but it will be fun. Wednesday, we're doing our show live at the UPS store on North Avenue in Burlington.
Yes.
Why? Well, tomorrow's tax day, and that's everybody's least favorite day of the year, unless you have a lot of money coming back to you in the tax return.
That's right.
Which none of us ever do. But they're doing free shredding of documents there if you come and hang out while we're there. So you want to get all those documents shredded, we'll be at the UPS store, North Avenue. Mistake of the day. Remember, we're doing that again this week. You want a 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. You just text us in a mistake that we make, 802-655-6672. We get a qualifier per day, and then we get a winner at the end of the week, and that person gets a baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
Very disappointed at our listeners. They've not kept us on our toes with the mistake of the day. When we didn't have the mistake of the day, they were texting with mistakes all over the place. Either we cleaned up our act or whatever, but we have not had a lot of mistakes. Very disappointed at those.
Apparently, we're perfect.
Yeah. Well, I knew that. There's no doubt about it.
As for what's coming up today,
yeah,
the Celtics with a dramatic win yesterday in overtime. Sox not playing today, but out there, their best start in franchise history. Danny Amendola was some very interesting things to say about the Pats and Bill Belichick.
Oh, yes, he did.
Monday Mirage is at 5:20, but first, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, they are not at voluntary workouts day one for the Patriots. Is this a big deal?
Equates to? When I saw this story, and some people think it's not a big deal, this is like the family that raises two or three kids, and the kids are just perfect kids. And so they start becoming like 13, 14, 15, you know, those teenage years where they start to push back and they don't want to listen to authority. And they're, why? Why do I got to do this? Why do I got to do that?
Why?
There's a crack in the foundation. And I've told you this before. Bill Belichick is not willing to conform. You know, we talked about this with Cora. We said, why isn't Farrell still the manager of the Red Sox? And you guys told me he doesn't relate to the young guys. He's not a young guy's guy. He doesn't know how to, you know, be not chummy, but...
he doesn't communicate well.
He doesn't communicate. He's not a player's guy. You know what I'm saying? Well, here's now Belichick being the crotchety old guy. He's not going to conform. I am
crotchety.
Crotchety
was the word.
Close enough. I am shocked
that's a mistake.
That not only did Tom Brady not go, I'm shocked that Gronk didn't go, because Gronk has $250,000 tied into this thing. I know it's not Brady's first time, but there is no doubt in my mind, guys, they are pushing back and sending a message. We are not going to be bullied by you anymore. The hell with you.
Jeff Darlington of ESPN, he was the guy on this story from the weekend. He was on SportsCenter today talking about Brady specifically not being there.
That is the million-dollar question, Sage. And let's start with number one, family. He made it very clear in his Tom vs. Time documentary and told Gotham Shoper, the producer of that, that he will be devoting this offseason to family. We might not have read a lot into it at the time, but he was very serious about that. He's going to spend more time with them. He also will be working more with his body coach, Alice Guerrero, very controversial figure in this whole thing because he's not allowed at Gillette Stadium per Bill Belichick's rules. So now Brady wants to spend his time working with Guerrero. Certainly there is some lingering frustrations here with the organization, but I would definitely point to number one and number two as the very clear reasons why Brady won't be a part of this program.
Well, they're pushing back to the bully, Rich.
Well, I don't think Brady's pushing back to the bully at all. Gronk, on the other hand, I agree with you. I think Brady is doing what he wanted to do. He's wanted to do it forever, and he finally gave in, and he's going to spend more time with his family.
But that's pushing back because he hasn't really missed.
Gronk, I think, is pushing back. You mentioned the $250,000 workout bonus. I mean, that's not a small amount of cash to miss. I mean, look, for all we know, Gronk's going to show up tomorrow, and this whole thing won't matter. But I mean, this is kind of like a peaceful statement, I think, that he's making with the front office, just saying, I'll be there, but I've got a statement to make first.
I think this is a big deal on both sides, and I think it's a bigger deal with Brady. Gronk, I have always felt, wanted a new contract. He makes the fourth highest annual value at the tight end position. I think he wants to be paid closer to his value in that Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce range, rather than just making, you know, a million more than Trey Burton, who's a career-long backup. Now, Gronk signed a team-friendly deal in 2012. He played under an incentive-based contract last year, basically, in which they gave him a bunch of performance bonuses, of which he hit all of them plus more.
Yep.
So he wants to be paid better. I always felt that's partly what this was about. But for Brady, Arnie, I'm right with you. This is somebody who, look, Tom Brady controlled the narrative when he showed us Tom versus Time. He wanted us to see how much football meant to him. He wanted us to see how much, you know, how it was the social game, how it was the emotional game, how it's basically his religion, and now he's pushing that to the side. I think that says something.
It does. Like I said, they're pushing back to Belichick, and Belichick is not going to conform. He's still going to go ahead and be the old mean guy. It's just amazing that all this stuff is starting to leak out now. I really think they're sick of him, and I'm wondering if it's going to push Bill Belichick out more sooner than later. When his career is all said and done, of course, there's not going to be much later considering his age. But I'm wondering if it's going to get to that point where somebody's going to have to say, I'm leaving early because I don't want to deal with you anymore.
In fact, Belichick is a year older today.
Yes.
66 years old today.
And it's
Crotchety 66.
Wow.
And it's the anniversary of Tom Brady getting drafted as well.
So wow.
Back when the draft.
That was a good day.
Yes, back when the draft started on, you know, April 14th instead of April 30th practically. The one thing I wonder is this. And this is something I do think it's relevant. this first week of off-season workouts is only strength and conditioning. There is no actual football going on right now. So if Belichick has banned Guerrero, and that's the guy that Brady uses for strength and conditioning, right, does Brady feel he has no reason to show up because he doesn't ascribe, or subscribe rather, to the strength and conditioning that the coaching staff administers? If Brady, or if Guerrero had not been banished from the facility, I wonder if Brady would have shown up. I wonder that.
These are worthless. All right, let's be honest. For the most part, it's worthless.
It's about appearance and team building.
Right. He's,
but you can also make a statement, and I think that's what they're both doing.
Right, but he is the best quarterback of all time. If this guy wants to miss some time to go ahead and be with his wife, I mean, go for it.
I don't care if he shows up opening day.
Yeah. First of all, he doesn't even play in the preseason. Barely a quarter or two? A
couple of downs.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. This is a case where he's the best of all time. He doesn't need to go ahead and go over everything again. I'm okay with Tom Brady taking time off, and I'm okay with Gronk saying I don't want the time off. He's the one that's costing him $200,000. If he's okay losing out on $250,000, and he does need the rest, and he's a veteran also, Hall of Famer, I'm okay with these guys taking time off.
The Brady thing is nothing new. He's done this. He did it 3 years in a row. I think it was 08, 09, and 2010.
Right, but he hasn't done it in 8 years.
No, he hasn't, and he seemed like the ultimate team player guy, rah-rah. And the other thing, too, the youngsters are coming into camp. Is it really good to have the two arguably most influential players in that scene in Foxborough not there?
Yeah, I think it's a bad look for the team to not have your team leaders there, and more so in Brady's case than in Gronk's case. I don't think that it reflects well on Belichick for the things that Arnie has said, because it does give the appearance that people are pushing back. If this is about Guerrero, it shows that they both have very strong ties to Guerrero, and they don't like their way of thinking being bullied by Belichick. And again, if Brady told us in Time versus Time just how important football is to him, and now the first opportunity he's taking off from football-related activities, I think that says something. And even about his family, I think that says something too. We've been speculating all along about, oh, Giselle wants him out. Giselle wants him to stop playing. Giselle doesn't want him playing football. And here he is missing to, quote, be with his family. Is that Brady or is that Giselle talking? Well, I think those are all fair questions.
Two people are at fault here. Bill Belichick for not conforming. And I hate to say this because I really do love the guy, and I'm not BSing, Robert Kraft. Because there's a point now, and I understand that you want to give full autonomy to Belichick. He's your coach. But then again, you do have Tom Brady, the best of all time. There is a point where you can't be like Switzerland every second, and you got to take a side one way or the other. And I know that's got to be tough for him, but he's got to say, hey, Bill, you got to lighten up, all right? It's 2018. You've won, what, 5 Super Bowls? I love you. Just lighten up a little bit, okay? I ripped the hell out of Popovich. We said, who's worse now, Popovich or Belichick? It's gotten that bad. You got to lighten up, man. You're getting up there in age. Enough is enough.
I'm watching Pop after that press conference game the other night. He was just so belligerent.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Horrible, man.
I mean, everybody laughs. And, oh, it's just Pop. If I'm a member of the media, I want to punch him.
Exactly. I'm not kidding around. All right. Trevor in St. Albans is ripping us for not getting to the Celtics and Bruins. And then Danny in Colchester said, we don't want to hear about the NBA playoffs. We're already sick of that already. I'll tell you what. Trevor in St. Albans, if we don't get like a million texts from you as we start with the Bruins and Celtics next, we should get a million from all the Bruins and Celtic fans out there. What a weekend. What a weekend.
6-0, Boston.
What a weekend. 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. A weekend like no other. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow. ESPN. Commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. I just want to say on the Town Fair Tire text line, George from Fairfax says, hey, thanks for the Red Sox ticket Saturday. Great seats, great game. My wife enjoyed her first game. That is nice. From George in Fairfax. So bravo. I'm glad you had a good time down there,
dressed
George.
In layers, hopefully.
Do they have any crazy foods that, like grasshoppers on a nothing like that?
Tarantulas.
Tarantula burger. They don't do any of that stuff.
I don't know because I never eat there.
Brady, do you?
I just get the Fenway Frank.
All right, so there's the Franks are now they carve out the middle of a pickle, and they stick the hot dog in the middle of a pickle.
I don't eat pickles.
Ugh.
Talk about ruining a good thing.
Well, I don't even know how they cook the hot dog. It must be cooked before they put it in the pickle, I think. I would imagine.
Well, hot dogs are already cooked. You basically mean warmed up.
Yes, right. Yes. Or put it on the grill, right. Yeah. But how would they do that? Wouldn't the pickle just... I'm not sure. I don't even care to know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you guys are all sour on pickles.
Ah, good one, Arnie.
I love pickles. I'm serious.
Well, that makes one of us.
And you guys are anti.
I wouldn't. No. You could put a pickle on a giant ball of cheese, and I still wouldn't like it.
I haven't had a pickle in 20 years, and if it's another 20, it'd be too soon.
Yeah. My nephew doesn't eat ice cream. Hates ice cream. I don't know. I don't know.
That's like a disease or something.
Brady, did you say you hate ketchup? No.
Yeah, I hate ketchup. Yeah, I don't eat ketchup.
That's so bizarre.
Ketchup smells disgusting. Tomatoes are fine, but ketchup smells awful.
What do you put on your burger?
Mustard. Mustard and mayo on a burger, mustard on a hot dog.
Did you see the new ketchup mayo thing combined?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, isn't that Thousand Island sauce?
Isn't
that what Thousand Island sauce is? Ketchup and mayo?
Yeah.
I love Thousand Island.
I do too.
Yeah. I love it. But I hate ketchup.
So back to your nephew.
How is it possible to go through life not eating ice cream? He's weird. He's very weird. He just doesn't want it. He doesn't like ice cream. I don't know what it is. Must be the taste buds or something like that. We got to get to the Celtics because what a game.
Wow. And did I mention again, 6-0 Boston this weekend?
What a game.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who walked away just thinking glass half empty rather than glass half full?
The reason I didn't think it was half empty only because I saw Cleveland lose, because I see that Philadelphia might be the number one now team in the East and that maybe the Celtics aren't that far behind them. So I feel more confident than ever if I'm a Celtic fan, even without the guys that are hurt.
It's really hard for me to come to the table and look at this negatively, but I think I have to. Yes, the Celtics got four players in double figures. So if you get four players in double figures and you nearly had five because Tatum had 19,
right?
You should have won by more. You shouldn't have needed overtime. You shouldn't need overtime if you get nearly five players in double figures.
Didn't they all have 20?
20, you mean. Not double figures, 20.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, 20. Yeah. Double figures. Yeah, 20.
Yeah.
So you get nearly five players with 20 points or more.
That is glass half empty.
You should win by more than needing overtime. And then also, we're sitting here lauding their defensive prowess on Giannis. 35-13 still sounds pretty good. And then I'm looking at the end of the game and I'm thinking, this is where they're going to miss Kyrie Irving. They missed a couple of free throws late. Now, Horford made a bunch of free throws late, but they still missed a few. Tatum had an awful turnover in transition. Rozier had some breakdowns in defense. I trust Brad Stevens, but I just sat here thinking, just still, what could have been if Kyrie Irving was here?
I'll tell you what, though. If you'd asked me if they had won an exciting game one of the first round and they were the 2 seed and they beat the 7 seed barely, I would have said, yeah, that stinks. That would have been glass half empty. But with the way things have progressed and what's gone on with this team this year, I will take any win. I mean, the expectations of this team in the playoffs have gone right over the cliff in the last month.
It's like Toronto. People are like, well, how could you say Toronto's good? They barely won. I go, this is a franchise that lost their first round game, first game of the first series, 9 years in a row. So no matter what you win and who you could beat a grade school, I don't care. You know, you're turning the corner. As for the Celtics, though, I think they had a 93% chance of winning when they had an 8-point lead. There was
a 10-point lead with four minutes to play.
Was it 8 or 10?
10.
10. And I'm not going to start breaking down the whole last 4 minutes, but the last half a second, that was horrible.
Yes.
Jaylen Brown. I mean, that's ridiculous.
What are you thinking? You know, first of all, I don't believe you can really get a 3-point shot off.
And you can.
Point three is legitimately just for a shot. Can you really pull the ball back and let it launch with extra oomph, with an extra tenth of a second? I would love John Brakes to look at that. Yeah. I don't think he can do it, Brady. I'd love to look at it again.
I think that you can, but what I thought was that it was like 107 seconds to get the ball in bounds.
Jeez, you're right about that, too.
I saw that tweet.
Yeah. I totally thought that I think it was Antetokounmpo who took the ball out of bounds. Yep. I mean, I totally thought that was more than 5 seconds, but nonetheless, that's fine. That was a great shot. It was a defensive breakdown.
Well, you can't leave him open like that.
No, it was a defensive breakdown, but I'll still say that was amazing, but I just walked out of here thinking, I mean, they missed 9 shots in a row at one point in the second quarter. Shane Larkin had a couple of turnovers in the second quarter, and just started thinking, if Kyrie Irving is dominating the ball as much as he should be, then I'm feeling this team can win an NBA Finals. Right now I'm saying, okay, maybe they get out of the first, but I don't have a lot of confidence.
But that's the whole point of why yesterday to me was exciting, because our expectations have completely changed, and I'm just taking it, one game at a time. And a win is a win. If they lose this series to Milwaukee, is anyone surprised? The way that game played out and the complete lack of defense from Jaylen Brown on that game, the tire, and then the complete lack of defense for the first 2 minutes of the overtime, I thought it was thrilling the way they pulled that out. I'll take whatever I can get with this team right now.
I still would say people would be surprised because we've all said, oh, you know, they could be ripe for a first-round upset, but I haven't seen anybody pick Milwaukee to win this series. And
no.
Brian Scalabrine after the game on NBC Sports Boston said, who have you seen officially pick the Bucks?
No,
I have seen nobody.
I've heard people say if there is going to be a first-round upset, it'll be Milwaukee only because of the injuries that the Celtics have. So, you know, they're not saying it's because that.
That's a real hot take.
Well, I know that, but I mean, when you're losing those guys, you know, it you think it was going to kill you. I mean, I didn't think they had a chance in the first round. I actually thought Milwaukee was going to win this. I'm hoping the Celtics win. But
you said Boston in seven on Friday, and so did I.
Well, overall, though, Milwaukee steals game one. It's a whole new series. They didn't steal game one, so you got lucky there. I thought they were going to pull it out in overtime. I'm like, oh, my goodness, man. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Hey, Celtics got lucky. They didn't choke that game away in overtime. Otherwise, this series could have been over in one game, believe that or not.
Then the thing that impressed me the most was one Marcus Morris. I think he had 21 points. He played great, especially down the stretch. Had a couple of big buckets going to the basket in the fourth quarter. And then Horford, efficient. 24 points. He had 14 free throw attempts. He had 12 boards. A couple assists, a couple of blocks. He guarded Giannis also and made life tougher for him than he would have liked it to be. He still had to play 44 minutes, which I think I read was his most minutes played in 5 years.
Yeah, he and a couple of guys played 44 minutes. That's a lot. Especially for Horford, though. You're right, because he's been banged up all year. Yeah, I'll tell you, Marcus Morris, I have not been more wrong than I was in the preseason when I hated the Morris for Avery Bradley trade. I mean, look how that's worked out for the Celtics.
I liked Marcus Morris because I think when you couple him with the guys that were supposed to be here with Kyrie and Hayward, and you look at him as a fourth or fifth option, his bench scoring, I like what he brings to this team. I don't like him depending on him for 25 a game, but they don't do that as it is. But what we were upset about with Bradley is we were wondering where the defense was going to come from. And the defense was smart, and Rozier has played some good defense at times. The defense has still been there.
And Morris was coming off of all kinds of knee issues. He wasn't even ready to play for the first month of the season. So
and,
I just thought that was an awful trade.
And he was coming off legal problems.
Yes.
Remember, he missed a lot of the preseason for him and his brother in court.
If Kyrie and
Hayward
were healthy, the Celtics would be the favorite in the Eastern Conference and probably the second favorite overall to win the championship right behind the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets did not look unbeatable in a three-point win. It took 44 from James Harden. Mm-hmm. So that's how thin of a line this is if they kept their players healthy. And they're not even that far off. Can you believe there's a team? I mean, could you imagine if the Lakers or the Knicks or the Celtics? Well, the Celtics had a great run early, but Philadelphia 76ers have won 17 games in a row.
Most of them not
and
even close.
I barely even mentioned them nationally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely. If this was the old Moses Malone team that won 17 in a row, it'd be front page all over the place.
And they're crushing everybody, and they're doing it without Embiid.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe Embiid didn't play yesterday, but hell, they didn't need
him.
But
he's not going to play tonight
yeah,
either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt about that. Hey, Bruins, how about that, my friend?
Unreal.
They are crushing it. Absolutely crushing it. They're making a statement no matter how many injuries they had and all the guys coming back. Tuca has been great, though he did give up three goals.
Yeah, he's been okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the offense has been tremendous.
Well, that first line, the whole offense has been from one line, almost all of it. I mean, DeBrusk had a goal the other night in the 7-3 win, but it's been all Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand.
Who passed it between their legs for a goal to someone?
Pastrnak,
yeah.
He had a couple of highlight reel specials the other night. I mean, that was ridiculous. I know Toronto struggles on the defense, but, man, the Bruins are just on fire right now. They're playing the game at 500 miles an hour. They're beating. It reminds me of the old, and this is crazy, I know, and I'm not saying it will continue this way, but the old Canadians, they were always, it was like they knew where, Gretzky was this way, too. He always knew where the puck was going to be about a second or two before it actually got there. That's what it felt like, especially over the weekend in that 7-3 win. The Bruins won every single puck battle. They went into the corners. They got to the puck first every time, and there was wide-open goals right in front of the net.
David Pastrnak has 9 points in the first two games.
I mean, think about that.
That's already tied for the most through three games of a postseason in franchise history. Phil Esposito had 9 in the first three games in 1969.
Wow.
Pastrnak's already got 9 in two games. He needs just 2 points to match the NHL record for most points through three games, through the first three games of a postseason. Wayne Gretzky had 11 back in 1981.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, crushing them.
Obviously, he's not going to score 6 points tonight, but I mean, Toronto, you talk about a must win. And they cannot. We talked before the season, before the series, about how the Bruins, one of their top priorities is don't get penalties. Do not give that power play a chance. Well, it's been the Boston power play that's been crushing Toronto.
The line of the Bruins' main line, I think, has 20 points
that's
in this
insane.
Series, and then the top line for Toronto has 2. I mean, that's the disparity right now in this series. And the Bruins have 5 power play goals in the first 2 games of this series. You can't win and take penalties. You can't win and take penalties on the road, and you certainly can't be inefficient on the penalty kill, which is what Toronto has done all of those things.
And I'll tell you what, the Bruins got a huge break with the Kadri suspension. I thought that was ridiculous. Did he deserve a game? Absolutely. But three?
I was shocked.
I mean, 3 in a 7-game playoff series? Kadri is one of the tough... The Bruins are just out-toughing Toronto, too. They're getting, like I said, to the puck first. They're tougher. They're flattening them all over the ice. Kadri's one of those tough guys, borderline dirty from time to time, as he proved the other night and did him in. But he's also a guy who's going to score 30 goals. They got to have him.
Andrew in Ferrisburg says the way things ended this season for the Celtics, a first-round series win and a competitive second round will be good enough to end the season.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not even sure I want to end it there. You know, keep pushing on that one. By the way, just... talk about snake bit while we're on hockey real quick. The Washington Capitals.
I watched that. I couldn't believe it.
Have not gotten out of the second round since 1998. In those 20 years, they finished first or second. I'm not even going to throw in the President's Cup and all that. First or second in 14 of those 20 years.
That puck in overtime goes in last night to give Columbus a 2-0 lead.
Did you see
the look on the fans in Washington? I'm just like, all right, fine. I've tried. I've lasted as long as I could. I give up.
Brady, you take a back seat to being a snake bit fan of the Mariners.
No, that's choke artist. That's not snake bit. That's choke artist.
Okay, right. Okay.
I'm not sure Columbus winning those 2 games was bad luck.
So
I would, yeah.
By the way, I think the Capitals are the 6th team to lose the first 2 games of a best-of-7 series at home in overtime. They're only the 6th team in the history of the NHL to do that in the first since 2012.
That's insane. I feel so bad for Ovechkin. It's not even funny.
He had 2 goals yesterday.
I know, but I just feel bad for him,
It's like everyone else disappears. And I'll tell you, I've called it the story of the year, and I'm sticking with it. The Vegas Golden Knights, I still can't even believe what I'm seeing. They just don't give up goals. They do just enough to win every single game.
The crowd is insane.
And then they go to L.A. last night and win again. I mean, they may sweep that series.
The L.A. fans were yelling, Vegas sucks, Vegas sucks. I think the announcer said, we all know that's not true. We all know that Vegas is a great place to visit. No doubt about that. Brady, what's coming up at the Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Patriots and why it's a big deal. Tom Brady, in particular, is not there this week.
All right, what do we get in the next segment?
Red Sox off to their best start in franchise history. What do we make of that? And is tomorrow night's game must-watch television?
I called it on Friday. We'll get to all that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning, step 1, watch sports. Step 2, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. By the way, you guys were talking about the win from our buddy Sean Parker. On his latest tweet, the top of Whiteface gusted. You want to know how bad?
It's 100.
94 miles per hour this morning. That's the strongest I could find around, says Sean Parker on Twitter. Wow.
Well, luckily we're not on top of Whiteface.
Wow, that's some serious winds, huh?
I'll tell you, it is howling out there.
Yes.
And I can't even imagine what it must have been like for the Boston Marathon runners. It's a point-to-point race, as you know, Hopkinton to Boston. So they had a headwind the entire 26 miles, blasting them.
I would have run good in that race.
You know? You would have been great.
Yeah, it would be.
Arnie, you could have had an electric scooter and finished behind the
yes.
runners.
I think I would have. What's going on with the Red Sox, Brady? Because they are on fire. I think the Red Sox and Mets already will start a World Series.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait on that.
Get it started.
13-2 for the Sox. Their best start in franchise history postponed today. They'll take on the Angels and A's this week going out west. And tomorrow, it's going to be Shohei Ohtani for the Angels against David Price. And it's not often that we ask this, especially April, but is that must-watch for our listeners.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So you got Celtics game at 8 o'clock tomorrow, and then you flip back and forth, you know, from 10 to 11 or so, 10 to 10:30, and you see Ohtani. Is that must-watch for people?
I brought it up to you on Friday. You shot me down. Like, I didn't know.
Because I didn't know the Angels had an off day.
Well, I didn't know, but I'm like, hey, any chance that the game could be rained out and he's going to pitch against it? Like, nope, it's not going to happen. And I'm like, that's too bad. I would love to see him pitch against the Red Sox. And sure enough, it's going to happen. Yeah, even though it's late, you got to stay up late to watch this thing. I want to see it. I want to see what he's going to do. And, I mean, he's been so fascinating so far. Oh, and by the way, which I didn't know. I guess you should have known this, Brady, talking about Babe Ruth and all that. Know about baseball. I didn't know Babe Ruth didn't pitch and bat, you know, at
not
the same
very
time.
Deep in his
no,
career.
At the same time.
He was in the same game.
Yeah, no. Like, he was a pitcher, and then he became a everyday. He didn't pitch and play the field, you know, in the same season. At least that's what I understood. He was either a pitcher first, played his years as a pitcher, and then went to become a fielder, or vice versa.
I don't think
versa.
That's true.
Really?
Google.
Yeah, Google was like, I think he didn't do it both at the same time. This is unprecedented, where on the days he's not pitching, he's out there playing the field. So, or DHing or whatever he's going to do. I don't think Babe Ruth did that. He was a pitcher, and he remained a pitcher until his days were done, and then he was an everyday player. But I could be wrong on that. You have to look that up.
Babe Ruth was more of a pitcher at the beginning, but
yes.
He did do both.
Oh, he did do both because he certainly didn't do it like Ohtani.
I mean, in 1914... Well, we'll start with 1915, his first full year. 1915, he was 18-8 as a pitcher, and he had 103 plate appearances. And then it gets a little bit more batting-wise each way. So he was more of a pitcher, but he did do both.
Okay, so obviously, what?
No, I'm just, you know, you don't really appreciate what Babe Ruth did when he came in, especially at that time. It's not like you sit down and look at Babe Ruth's stats year to year very often. And I'm just looking at him. And they're preposterous. It's the same sort of thing when you look at Wayne Gretzky's numbers. And you go, how does any human do that every year?
Brady, you want to answer Jeff in Hinesburg? It says, I would be shocked if Major League Baseball doesn't change the start of the time of the game and make it a prime time on the East Coast. Jeff in Moncton.
It's too late.
Well, I think 40,000 fans that would already have tickets in Anaheim would object to
that. Well, the hell with them. But, you know, they don't. There's no primetime game on Tuesday anyway, right? So it wouldn't have made a difference.
Well, he's just saying make it an 8 o'clock game or something like that.
You can't do that.
Yeah. It's already ridiculous enough that we have to wait till 9:30 on Friday night for game 3 of the Celtics-Bucks. 9:30.
You know, I would love to see that game a little bit earlier, though. How much better would that
they're
be
on
great?
Central time.
Right, but I mean, an 8:30 start, you think TV has any pull?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. TV. Yes. I think TV has a pull, but I think they must have something coming on. They must have another game on before it's 7. So I think it is must-watch. I think it's absolutely must-watch, and it's now twice in respective seasons that I have felt this way with the must-watch game. I thought it was must-watch earlier in the year when it was Warriors and Celtics right at the beginning of the season. It was Kyrie against Steph for the first time as a member of the Celtics. I made that appointment viewing. I think tomorrow is absolutely appointment viewing.
I'm wondering how many people that go to work Monday through Friday, get up early, which probably 90% of our listeners, let's say they go to bed at 10 o'clock. It's 10 to 11, right?
Yeah.
I guess 10 is a little too early. How many people are going to stay up till, let's say, midnight just to say, I got to see the first 6 innings. How many people are going to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning and watch Ohtani? Not that Ohtani's going to be in there the whole time. How many people are going to watch the first 2 hours just to watch Ohtani and stay up till midnight? Right. I don't think it's going to be that many.
No, it depends on how old you are. I mean, old farts like you and me are going to be asleep at 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, do you want to stay up, though? Do you say, I will stay up, I'll take a nap, I'll do whatever, I'll drink coffee, I'll do whatever, because I got to see this guy pitch. I don't know.
And it's not just Ohtani and David Price, but the Angels, by the way, are 13-3.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Yeah. That doesn't matter.
And Trout wasn't hitting. He is now.
Yeah, I don't think that matters either. Yes, this is a matchup of two really good teams, but I think it's more about, one, seeing Ohtani, two, seeing Price back and see if he's healthy, and then three, it's seeing Trout. I think those are the storylines.
Right, so the Angels are 3-13. You'd have less interest or no interest?
3-13, but if Ohtani has it's still pitching, done what yeah, he's yeah, done, yeah. then yes.
What makes him such a tough pitcher? The 100-mile-an-hour? I didn't know he could throw that hard.
I mean, 100 miles an hour with the fastball, a splitter that just drops out.
Nasty.
You know, out of this world. Like, guys are
he's the first one to throw a splitter for crying out loud?
But it's going 95 miles an hour. I couldn't believe. And people were missing that thing by a half a foot.
Jeez.
So I think it's absolutely must watch. I think tomorrow, watch the Celtics until 10, turn it over to see Ohtani, go back to the Celtics, and then get back to the Red Sox for the top of the second.
Well, wait a minute. What if the Celtics is a tie game with 40 seconds left?
Well, judge it there. Put up put up two TVs. What do you want from me, for crying out loud? So,
I will delay watching Mariners Astros tomorrow just to see Ohtani against the Reds.
Wow, that's right. Saying something.
Let me tease the next story. We have a story coming up next that is going to get you so infuriated. And I'm not even kidding around.
Great.
If this does not get your blood boiling, you do not have a pulse. And I think we'll have 100% people on our side. I don't know if there'll be one person that will disagree what we have to say. That's coming up next. Wait till you hear this. I'm not kidding around. Next on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning. Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, how about that? I jumped the gun
there.
Didn't point at me. I was looking at a story on Monet Davis. Wanted to see where she goes to college. Anyway, welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. Wait till you hear this next story. I saw this. I'm like, I got to get this to Rich and Brady because it's a baseball story. But, man, you want to talk about getting your blood boiling. If you have any children, especially if you have girls, listen to this. Brady, tell everybody this next story. It's unbelievable.
There's a youth baseball coach. Well, there's a group of youth baseball coaches in New Hampshire, so not far from here. They are in a league. It's not Little League, but there's all kinds of variations of youth league baseball. So they're a youth league baseball group. They have one girl in the entire league, one 11-year-old girl who plays in the league. Some of the coaches in this league have conspired to throw at her when she comes to bat in hopes that they will break her spirit and get her to quit.
And not only throw at her, I think I read in the article to throw at her head. Did I read that correctly?
To, quote, bean her. Yes. Can you imagine two grown men saying that? Or two grown adults. Do we know
yes.
they're men?
Yes, they are men.
Okay, two grown men thinking that this is a good idea to get her out of the league by hitting her in the head with a baseball.
So two coaches, obviously not the coach of the team that she's on, but
correct.
Two other coaches said, to get her out of the league, we're going to throw and try to bean her and break her spirit.
Yep.
Because?
Perhaps to only presume that they do not like the idea
of having
girls play in boys sports. That's the only thing I could think of.
How disgusting is that?
I know.
I mean, I don't even know what to say to something like that.
You told me this before the show, and I was like, that can't be right. Like, sure enough, I'm looking at it.
I really don't know what to say. I've been doing sports radio for 30 years, and how do you conspire and say, you know what, let's throw at an 11-year-old girl, forget about the injury that could be caused, and say, let's try to break her spirit and get her out of the league? Yeah. I mean, how?
All
how
because you're intimidated about having girls play alongside your sons, it's embarrassing.
What
really.
Heinous is that?
The two coaches said they would instruct a player to bean the daughter, strike her in the head with a baseball during practice in order to intimidate her into leaving the program. The conversation allegedly took place during a draft meeting to assign players to team rosters.
Unbelievable.
She was picked last, by the way. Not that that makes any difference.
Unbelievable.
It's embarrassing. It's infuriating and embarrassing.
It's almost criminal.
Yes,
I'm not kidding around about that. It is assault
when
you conspire to do it on purpose. It could be construed as an assault, especially to an 11-year-old girl,
especially to her head. I mean, it's bad enough that you'd throw it at any
part of her, but to say to throw at her head,
I mean,
jeez,
embarrassing.
Oh, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. I don't know what you could possibly comment on, but. And boy, that is just disgusting. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine. People of planet Earth, we appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're all on the count of four. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
Getting going on this Monday. Lots to talk about. A great sports weekend if you're a Boston fan.
Yeah.
A lot of people are commenting on the little girl story, though. I don't think we could read most of them because they're like, you know what the punishment should be, and then they go to physical violence. James and Stark Starksboro said that. Tim in South Burlington, this infuriates me to no end. I have an 8-year-old daughter. Part of me would want her to stick it out, not let the bullies win. Another part of me wouldn't want her to play and avoid serious injury. How do you win for your daughter in that situation? You know, that's a good, I didn't even think about it from her. What do you do if you're the father of the 11-year-old girl? Do you say you're going to, obviously you're going to try to leave it up to her, but what would you want her to do? Stick it out or you want her to quit?
It's easy to say you would want her to stick it out.
I know that's the easy answer to say. It is.
When you're actually in that situation, I think it's probably a whole lot different.
And you're an 11-year-old girl, and the word is out, and I'm sure she's heard it big time. She's probably famous now for a reason she doesn't want to be famous, but somebody's going to throw at her head. I mean, how hard is that to stand in there as an 11-year-old kid who just wants to have fun?
Nick and Colchester, disgraceful what these two coaches did. They should be banned from coaching or even be held out of being adult chaperones or school functions. I hope these schools involved take a hardline stance against the nonsense. It's not schools. It's a league, right, Brady?
It's not schools. It's a youth league.
It's a youth league, which is not that it's worse, but it's a youth league, right?
It just means that, yes, what he's saying, it's not like this person is – these coaches are representing a school.
Jeff in Plattsburgh, exactly. Conspire to assault. I'm a father of three daughters. Charges to facilitate assault by minors.
Well, because what he's saying is the kids are technically the ones committing the assault, the other players.
Oh, okay.
But
instructions from adults.
If you want
though,
the adults, then it would be conspiring to, you know, facilitating assault.
Well, either way,
by a minor.
It's not a pretty situation. I'm sure it's not going to be the last we hear about this. There's going to be more about this, so we'll keep our eye open and we'll see what more on the story comes about, and we'll bring it to you because I know a lot of people are very interested in
especially
this.
When it's our neighbors to the east.
Yeah,
it's not far away.
I know. I saw that. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's just horrible. Marathon day today. Rich, you ran the Boston Marathon.
That's why I was almost late. Yeah. I barely got here back in time after my
2:41. Why are you not running that?
Because you have to qualify for Boston because I have no knees left in my body. That's the two reasons.
Come on.
I never even came close to qualifying for Boston.
How many marathons did you run?
Fulls?
Yeah.
18.
That's 26.2.
Yes.
And you finished, do you have one of those 26.2 bumper stickers on your car?
Never.
Oh, because I'll rip it off.
Never.
I'll rip that off.
Hey, everybody, look at me. I've done something you haven't done. Yay me.
I can't even drive 26 miles.
Ugh, drives me nuts. You know the one I love is the one that says 0.0.
Yes, yes, I like
now
that.
That's
one.
Funny.
What about the one who, oh man, I forget the number.
13.1?
No, isn't it like 40-something for number of hills in the number of mountains in the Adirondacks?
Oh yeah. What is that called? But yeah, I know what you
mean.
Yeah,
so I see people there that have that. I think it's 44.
Yeah,
I don't know why that sticks out to me, but
do you have people? I was gonna say, do you have time, like your best time or something, or you don't keep time?
No, don't keep time. It was very important.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why else would
sorry.
I run it?
Exactly. Yes.
But look, I'll tell you the two things I hated most. Well, other than being overweight and, you know, trying to run marathons, was a headwind and humidity. And boy, did they get a headwind in Boston. It's a point to point. It's not an out and back. You go from one point direct. The entire Boston Marathon, for the most part, is east. And the wind was right in their face the entire race today.
I don't know, outside of just snow itself, what could have made a worse condition to run in. I mean, if it were a blizzard, that would be probably a little more miserable, I would have to imagine. But what awful conditions that was today.
Yeah. I mean, I've run in absolutely everything. Yeah, I mean, Columbus, Ohio was sleet, freezing rain, 28 degrees the whole way. It was horrible. Eventually, that sweat just freezes onto you, and you just can't do anything. But like I said, humidity and a headwind. And, I mean, my last marathon, last full, was VCM 2 years ago, and that was the one they stopped. They stopped it because the humidity was too high. It was like 85 degrees and very high humidity, and that's the one thing that will really kill you. I don't think headwind's going to kill you. Keep in mind, too, Boston is nothing but qualified runners for the most part, so they're very, very highly qualified, very good marathon distance runners.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot today, but if you look at the finish times, I mean, the women's winner won in 2:35, I think it was, and that's very, quote, slow, and I put that in huge quotes.
First time that an American woman has won the Boston Marathon since 1985,
yeah.
So that's very cool.
I've never heard of her. Desiree Linden.
She's a two-time Olympian.
I just assumed when I heard an American woman won the marathon, it was Shailene Flanagan, but I don't even know her. I thought, is this another Rosie Ruiz?
I'm doing the 5K this week.
That I want to see. Are you seriously doing this? Are you just interjecting yourself
story? My wife's making me do it. Could I ride a bike in that thing? That's still pedaling, isn't it? That's still using my feet. I wonder if I could do that.
A former Patriot, Ryan Wendell, offensive lineman, he ran it on the men's side. And
he's huge.
32 years old.
He's a gigantic man.
I think he's lost some weight since his playing days.
Oh, that just hurts my knees just thinking about running at that weight.
But
he must have lost 100 pounds to be able to do that.
Would have had to.
If we all ran / walked the 5K, who would win?
Oh, Brady would win. I'd be last. I can't walk. You see me hobbling around
here.
I'm not
so sure Brady would win.
Stop.
I would win. I just wouldn't. It wouldn't be pretty.
Congratulations to everybody who ran that thing. I know a whole bunch of people from around here that ran it, and I just can't even imagine 26 miles against that wind.
All right, Brady, tell everybody what we got coming up this week, especially with trivia tomorrow.
Trivia tomorrow, half-price appetizers out at the Burger Bar in Colchester. Join us 7:30 to 9:30. NBA playoffs on, NHL playoffs on. We got the Celtics game on as well. We got lead you up to Ohtani pitching against the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll be a lot of fun. A great sports day, so come out and join us. Wednesday, we're broadcasting live at the UPS store on North Avenue in Burlington. Tuesday is tax day. That's tomorrow, so get your taxes done. Free document shredding up to 5 pounds if you come out during our show at the UPS store.
Do you actually wait right up till the deadline?
I go past the deadline. We always do the extension.
My taxes are done.
I don't know why.
I did mine February 1st. As soon as all my W-2s were in, it was over.
I'm a procrastinator.
I had my money by February 15th. I mean, don't you need the money, or are you giving
no,
it up?
No, I do, but what I like to do is wait is extended, and then if I could file it real late, and then I file the next one on time, I'll get two checks at the same time. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
I like getting my money heading into the summer.
Okay. Well, maybe you just don't desperately need it.
No,
February
I do,
1st.
But I got wedding gifts to buy and stuff this summer, so the bill is going to continue.
Wow.
So the bills are high as the summer comes. That's when I need my money.
Oh, yeah? You're getting married?
I would buy gifts for my own wedding, really. buy my own gifts for my own wedding. My best friend is getting married.
I must have misheard it.
I'm the best man
at my
best friend's wedding.
And,
so.
And how's the speech going?
It's done. It's all in my head. It's not written, but it's done.
Okay. At some point on one of these shows, could you let it out so we can grade it and decide whether it's good enough?
No, what I think I'll do is I'll do it and then have my best friend call in the Monday after the wedding and tell you guys how I did.
I'm sure punctuation will be perfect. I'm sure about
Who
that.
Who needs punctuation when you're speaking?
Well, you're the writer, though. When you write it out, I'm sure your punctuation and spelling will be just 100% on
punctuation in your mind.
When is the wedding again? When is it?
It's like July 14th or something like that.
Okay. It's on a Friday or Saturday?
It's
or
on a Saturday.
Oh, it's not like the weird millennial weddings when it's like on a Wednesday night or something.
No,
the same
no,
Tuesday
it's on a
night. Come enjoy the wedding Tuesday night at 10:30 at night.
Tuesday at the Taco Bell around the
Tuesday
corner.
Tuesday at brunch at 9 a.m. You'll love it.
The mistake of the day. Remember, we're doing that. We need more hopefully we don't make any, but if we do, you can call us on it.
You made a mistake. Somebody already got you.
Yeah, but they were wrong, so they don't. It doesn't count.
Oh. They made the mistake.
They made the mistake.
So do we win something for catching their mistake?
The mistake of the day winner for the week gets that brand new baseball cap, 101.3 ESPN cap. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. A former Patriot taking some, I don't know if they're shots,
oh, yes,
but
they
tell
are.
Them
they're
the
shots.
Truth.
Yeah, they're shots.
Now, I don't know that they're shots, but it's the truth. Dishing on the Patriots, Danny Amendola with a lot to say on the Pats, on Bill Belichick, Malcolm Butler, all of it.
Do you have the part where he called them a blank? Because you don't call somebody a curse word like that and tell me he's not taking shots.
Well,
that's the worst thing anybody's ever called Belichick, I think I've ever heard, that's left the Patriots.
Danny Amendola talking with Mike Reese. I'm not sure if this is Amendola himself or Mike Reese of ESPN talking about Amendola, but here it is.
It's not easy, that's for sure. You know, he's an sometimes, but a lot of things I didn't like about playing for him. But I must say, the things that I didn't like were all in regard to getting the team better, and I respected him. So, you know, I didn't like practicing in the snow. I didn't like practicing in the rain, but that was going to make us a better football team, and that was going to make me a better football player. It wasn't easy, and he'd be the first to admit at the ring ceremony that it wasn't easy playing for him. And you know, the silver lining is that we were at the ring ceremony.
That was Amendola.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that last line tells it all. You want to deal with it, then you're in.
Was he doing it for what's better for the team and said, this is what we have to do to win a Super Bowl? That's why he's been so successful, so we should lay off? Or is he a blank?
Right.
And that's now it's just starting to come out. But no, we kind of knew that anyway.
Right. And I've said, you know me, a Pats lifer, and I've always thought he was a blank. I mean, if he wasn't the coach of the team that I've loved my whole life, I would absolutely despise him. But that being said,
well, you don't like Popovich. You said you don't like Popovich.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, but I definitely don't like Belichick, except, I don't know, he's had a great deal to do with my team winning a Super Bowl several times. So I like him because of that. Call that what you will. But I thought it was interesting that he came out and called him directly what he is. But then again, you look at that and you say, are the Patriots going to the Super Bowl if they don't practice in the rain or snow?
Well, other teams have gone to the Super Bowl. Look, everything that Belichick does in the tight ship that he runs, I think it is fair to say that has all been done with the best interest of making the Patriots as well-oiled of a machine as they possibly can.
Okay.
That said, Amendola was one of the guys that we kind of had as the Patriots lifer. And even though he didn't sign with the Patriots, he was going to be the guy who always had great reverence for the Patriots. He loves Brady. He loves Edelman. He's all in on the organization. And now even he is disgruntled. So you've got Gronk and Brady who are disgruntled with things with Belichick. You've got Amendola who comes out on the record and says what it's really like playing for Belichick. Nate Solder came out and said that it wasn't easy and wasn't glamorous playing in New England, and said that one day you feel like you're on top of the world, the next day you're about to get cut because you just don't know what the mood is that day in there. Deion Lewis said, quote, I wanted to be somewhere where I was wanted. So you have guys that we've thought were successful Patriots on the field, and in Amendola's case, we thought he was all in on the Patriots Kool-Aid, and he was unhappy. If those guys are unhappy, how does everybody else
feel?
Well,
it just goes to show you, then you don't have to be a player's coach to win, which is, you know, going back to the Red Sox, you say, oh, Cora's a player's guy. He's a, you know, the players love him. Well, do the players have to love you to win in sports? I don't think so. I guess you don't.
Does what he said today tell you that Danny Amendola was unhappy? And I mean that. I mean, obviously, he comes out and he says he's a bleep sometimes. But he said, you know, he goes on and talks about not liking to practice in the rain, not liking a lot of things that a lot
of teams do. I'm sure nobody likes to practice even.
But at the end, he also goes on and says, you know what? I knew what I was getting into.
Right.
When he left the Rams, he knew what he was getting into. He knew exactly what that situation was going to be.
Why, the Rams don't practice in bad weather?
And he was, well, not probably with their domed stadium at the time.
Right.
But, I mean, it said it wasn't easy for play. I don't see anything on there that says to me, says he was disgruntled.
He called him a curse word.
What's that?
He called him a curse word.
Oh, absolutely. You don't think anyone's ever told or said Bill Belichick is a bleepy bleep? I mean, come on. I think he is.
He also was talking about the money. He basically said, I wanted to be back in New England. He said, I came into contract negotiations with an open mind. I understand Bill runs a tight ship and he hasn't been known to pay his players, really. I understand that I gave money back to him so I could play for him and play for my teammates and fulfill my side of the contract. At the end of the day, I had faith that he was going to give me an opportunity to stay. Obviously, he didn't give him an opportunity to stay. So I would say, yes, he's disgruntled.
Well, at the one thing that, and it goes on in that interview, he talks about the one thing that really infuriated a lot of Patriots Nation who has lived and died by In Bill We Trust for all these years, and that was the Malcolm Butler situation. And he went on to say, he says, I know Malcolm is a great player, and he could have helped us win for whatever reason. He was not out there. That's a disgruntled situation,
yes.
No question. I think everybody's disgruntled and very confused about that situation.
I don't know too many people. I don't know too many teams that become disgruntled after winning 5 Super Bowls, 5 World Series, 5 Stanley Cups, 5 championships in how many years, and are disgruntled about it. I don't know many teams about
that. Pardon the greed, but number 6 was right there, and he didn't play a guy that could have made a difference in the game.
Arnie, I think that's a little bit unfair only because not all of these guys have won all of those titles.
True.
I mean, Brady is the only one that has won all of those titles, and you'll know this better than me. So maybe I'm out of bounds in making these comparisons. And I know these other guys have other things in their backgrounds that help bring them down. But don't we see this a lot where older coaches that are great and then they get older and they get older and they start to lose control and lose their grip and it just goes sideways? I mean, I think of Bobby Bowden. Look at how great Florida State was all through the 90s. And by the end of it, Florida State was finishing, 7-7 and barely making bowl games. And whether it's Bob Knight and Joe Paterno, before all the Jerry Sandusky stuff was out there, how irrelevant did Penn State football get as Joe Paterno got older?
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's not gone sideways for the Patriots, though. I mean,
but it's maybe this is the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, until it does, though, Belichick's always going to rule with the iron fist. I mean, you're coming off back-to-back Super Bowls. You won one, you lost one, and I mean, no matter what you plug into the lineup, things are always working out for you. So maybe it's different if they don't win. Maybe Belichick, at the first 8-8 season, he quits. Like, I can't deal with this.
The thing. Everyone's going to turn against him as soon as they start going 8-8.
Yeah.
For me, with Bill Belichick, as much as I can't stand him, he keeps winning, so I like him.
I mean, and think about it this way. If Nick Saban went 6-8 this year and then went 6-8 the next year, I mean, that would be a problem. It wouldn't work anymore.
In Miami, it was a problem when he was, 8-8, I believe, or something like that. And he said, I got to get the hell out of here. And they fired his butt out there. So, look, it's going to be different for Belichick once the losing starts happening. When is that going to be, if it's going to be? I think it could happen.
One of these decades.
Well, they don't have the best team this year. They had to fill a lot of holes, and obviously they haven't filled those holes yet. We'll see what happens in the NFL draft, but I'm surprised that somebody – how old is Belichick again, Brady?
66 today.
66 today.
You would think that he would ease up a little bit when you get to that age. You know what I mean? I don't care how big of a job is. You do eventually ease up and pull back a little bit, do you not?
You would think so.
Yeah. But he's not. He's just always going to be like that. That's just the way he's wired. He'll retire before he eases up. I promise you that.
Or if somebody tells him to ease up. That's why you've got to be careful with Kraft.
I don't think Kraft will ever do that. I don't think Robert Kraft is ever going to go in and step in and say
good.
That.
As a Pats fan, I don't want him to.
Yeah. Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, we'll talk more about this Patriots issues, why it is a big deal that Tom Brady is not at these voluntary workouts right now. And we got a glimpse yesterday of the Celtics without Kyrie Irving, and I'll tell you why you should be worried.
Coming up next, Monday Mirages, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow, everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. All right. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Monday. We're getting you off on your week. We'll see how that works. By the way, real quick note, I was going to bring this up when we were talking about the Patriots. You saw there was another running back there on the market. If you're interested in C.J. Anderson, remember the former?
Oh, yeah.
Former Bronco.
Yep. Not bad.
No?
No. Not bad. Like I always said, you know, I always think the Patriots should be getting themselves a big-time running back. I don't like any of their running backs, but not too shabby out
there.
Well,
they got 19 of them.
They do have 19.
Workout.
I figure if you get another 19 out of 38, one of them will pan out. I'm pretty sure about that. Brady, time for Monday Mirages.
Question.
Wow, he was right on that. Look at that. Wow.
Well, last week you said you weren't going to do it anymore, but I knew you were lying.
I know.
You were going to try to catch me sleeping at the
Monday
wheel.
Mirages.
Question one. After seeing game one, you now feel better about the Celtics without Kyrie Irving, real or mirage? You feel better than you thought you were going to.
I feel better than I thought only because, well, one, the fact that they almost blew the game didn't make me feel better, but the fact that Cleveland lost and, you know, I'm like, okay, then maybe they're not as tough as I thought. Philadelphia did win that 17 in a row, but the Celtics have been doing this all year long. Well, not all year long, a lot of the year without Kyrie and all year long without Hayward. I got to give them all the credit in the world. It's been phenomenal. I'm going to say that maybe they can continue this going and find themselves in the finals when it's all said and done.
Disagree. Absolute mirage. And my prediction was Celtics in seven. I'm going to stick with that. I just think it's going to be a root canal this entire series. And I all those expectations and all those hopes just got dashed as soon as Kyrie's knee started acting up. And that was the end of that to me. And anything they can get right now is just sort of gravy because I really don't expect him to get past, at the most, the second round, at the very most.
I'll say mirage also. I mean, I'm happy they won. There were obviously some good takeaways. Horford, Brown, Morris, Rozier, they all had 20-plus points. Tatum just missed out on 20. Young guys with experience. There were good things to take away. But at the end of the day, I just started thinking, at all the situations where the Celtics struggled yesterday, how I wish Kyrie Irving had been there. End of the game situation, free throws. Horford did hit a bunch, but he missed a couple of big ones. Can I count on Horford? Do I want Al Horford being the guy who takes key free throws down the stretch for me every game of the playoffs? No, I want that to be Kyrie Irving. Jason Tatum had some turnovers in transition. Terry Rozier had some defensive lapses right before he hit the big three-pointer that should have won the game. Yes, they won. Yes, I trust Brad Stevens, but I wish they had Kyrie Irving, and I think you saw more negative on life without Kyrie than positives because of the win.
How far do you think they can go? Would you say second round?
Well, I think because they would play Philadelphia in the second round. So right now, is if all the higher seeds win, then I would say yes, I would say the second round.
17 in a row for them.
It's ridiculous. They're doing it without Embiid.
Question two, Monday Mirages. This stems from the Giannis Antetokounmpo situation. He fouled out yesterday in overtime. Here you go. If you go to overtime, you should get an extra foul, real or mirage.
That should be real. I actually like that. You foul out of the game, let's say a minute left in the game, you're on the bench, game gets into overtime, you're back eligible.
Oh, no. Ooh, see, I don't like that.
You mean if you foul out only in overtime?
I just said you get an extra foul going in overtime.
Extra personal foul.
An extra personal
foul. So, in other words, you will only foul out with seven fouls, and it has to happen in overtime.
I thought you were going to let me.
Fascinating question.
Well, I thought you were going to let me bring back the guy that fouled out with six and say, okay, it's overtime now, everybody's eligible.
Oh.
That's what I thought you were going to. I'm like, oh, I'm all for that. Because
you're saying you get one. If you foul out in regulation, you get to come back in with one foul to get, and that's it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's another interesting angle.
Yeah, you've disqualified a player. Referees should never disqualify a player unless it's attitude or, you know, there's something bad that happened. And, you know, you said, that's it, you can't play anymore. But now you're going into overtime. Oh, you get one more foul so you can come back off the bench. I think that's
so
the way
So you can foul out twice, essentially?
Yeah, that's the way I was. That's where I thought you were leading. I didn't know you were saying it was just for people that had five. And then when they get, so you're saying you have five. And then when you get in overtime, you get two more.
Yes.
No, I thought you were saying come back into the game. That's what I thought you
this,
were doing.
I love stuff like this. Yeah. This is I could talk all day about things. I mean, I saw the five Monday Mirages, and the four of them were, immediately it was real Mirage, and I had answers. This one, I sat here for a half an hour. This is a great question.
Glenn in Moncton said the overtime rule idiotic.
What's on idiotic overtime?
I guess that's bringing the extra foul.
Well, no, but I mean, I it's interesting because now you've doubled the interest because of your idea. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a whole new layer under this where they foul out, then they get to come back
into the game.
Could you
imagine your best player fouls out, and now the Greek freak gets to come back in for overtime? And maybe the end of the game decides if you want to go for the tie or for the win.
Yeah, but
like
in yesterday's case, it wouldn't have.
Foul out until overtime.
He fouled out. His sixth foul was in overtime.
Yeah, but then
that would have fouled. But if he had five as he did in regulation, and then his sixth foul, as it was yesterday, was in overtime, then under your system, he still would have fouled out at the same time. Because he would have had.
But if he got six and then you go into overtime, you get to bring him back in. That's what
If he fouled out in regulation, he fouled out in overtime.
I know
yesterday.
That, but if you foul out in regulation, you get six, and the game
and
goes in overtime. Say, hey. Right.
So you get
come
seven,
on back.
So you get seven personal fouls.
Yeah, it's still seven, no matter
games.
Whichever way you're looking at it. It's still seven, you're still punishing. Suppose the guy fouls out with 5 minutes left in the game.
Right.
You still punished him for 5 minutes. That's enough.
Fascinating. I'm going to go Mirage barely because I'm worried about just foul city in overtime. I just think guys who have two fouls are just going to start committing personal fouls. And I understand eventually if you keep doing that, it's going to send you to the free throw line. But I just feel like it's going to slow the game down. I love overtime because you look up, you blink, and there's a minute left in overtime. And it's immediately crunch time because they play the first 4 minutes with no timeouts, no stoppages.
I'm going real. You look at the NFL, we give you extra timeouts when you get to overtime. Why can I not give you an extra foul, too? It said you used all your timeouts in regulation down the stretch. We're going to give you more. Why am I not going to give you more fouls? The NBA wants its stars on the floor.
Yeah.
Now we took the most intriguing singular piece in the entire game yesterday off the floor yesterday with, 30 seconds to go or whatever. The NBA would be better served to have the Greek Freak on the floor for the duration
You're right.
of overtime.
Andrew in Fairfax brings up a point. He says, Giannis fouled out in the fourth quarter. They just never called any of it. If you could come back in overtime, are they more prone to call that sixth foul on a superstar now saying, okay, you're out now, but if it goes to overtime, we get you back in the game.
Right, but how do you predict overtime?
Well, you can't, but, at least you're feeling like it's not permanent, I guess is what I'm saying there.
Maybe, but that's nonetheless, I don't need to hear people complaining about the refs. I'm sure the Celtics got away with some, too.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Question three, the special teams has been the biggest difference in the Bruins and Maple Leaf series, real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage. The biggest difference here is that the Bruins are just a better team. Better offensively, defensively, in every aspect of the game. Goaltending, special teams, whatever you want to say. It doesn't even make a difference here. They've played tremendous. And that's why they're in the situation that they are right now, have dominated the first two games.
That is absolutely real. I mean, all you're doing is giving a completely on-fire first line for Boston that much more of an advantage. And how many, I don't have it in front of me, how many power play goals they have this series?
Four?
Five power play goals,
Arnie. They were three of six going into that seventh one yesterday. I don't know how they did that.
But, I mean, how can you say that it hasn't made any difference when they have five goals?
I'm not saying that's the reason why they're winning. They're winning because they're just a better team overall. That's the difference there. They're better every aspect over the Maple Leafs.
Well, I hope you're right, and they certainly have shown to be in the first two games. I think it's 12-4 the overall scoring, yeah. But I think and plus the fact that Toronto has had no discipline. I mean, that hit by Kadri the other night was just stupid. Granted, he didn't deserve three games, but you've got to control yourself when you're just asking for that top line to be out there on a six on five.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rich. I'm saying real. I think every one of Toronto's problems stems from them being undermanned for a majority of the time right now. I mean, the Bruins have been on the man advantage 10 times, tops in the playoffs. They've been up a man for 17 total minutes in these two games. They've got five power play goals. So if you're talking about Toronto's goaltending being a problem, well, it's not. Anderson is a little above average in the regular season. Now you throw him, you know, a man down for 17 minutes. That's going to help, you know, exacerbate that problem. The Bruins' top line is outscoring the Maple Leafs top line 20-2. Well, it's kind of hard to get going when you're playing constant defense in your own end. All of Toronto's problems, I think, stem from the fact that they're taking too many penalties, and then you have to do uncharacteristic things when you're trying to come from behind. 4-0 in the first period the other day, that doesn't even give you a chance.
Yeah, they're not skating. They're not beating the Bruins to the puck. I mean, look how many easy front-of-the-net goals the Bruins have had, especially Saturday night.
Yeah, especially on the power play, too. Really interesting article about that on The Athletic, about how the Bruins set up their power play. Between having Rick Nash in the front and DeBrusk in the front, about just the handedness of the shooter depending on what side of the ice they're on. Very fascinating stuff.
By the way, Glenn and Monkton said they give you more timeouts in overtime in the NBA.
Yes, they do. Yeah, I was just saying the NFL as an example, but yes, they do. Question four, Monday Mirages. Tom Brady and Gronk skipping voluntary workouts is a big deal, real or mirage?
No, it's real. It's a big deal because, well, Gronk's missing out on $250,000 if he misses three or more.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see if he's going to go ahead and if he misses out on $250,000, like you said, Rich, that's just not chump change. I don't care how much you're making.
Especially a guy who cares about money like Gronk does.
I mean, he saves it all. If you had $10 million in the bank, you'd think twice before you'd want to miss out on $250,000. Yeah. Especially if all you had to do was just show up and ride a bicycle on the sideline. You know what I mean? One of the stationary bikes. You could say you've got a concussion and that you hurt your head bowling. And you could miss the entire weekend. So, yeah, it's a big deal. They're sending a message to Bill Belichick. Nobody sends a message to Bill Belichick.
Actually, if I had $10 million, I probably wouldn't be sitting next to you.
Yes,
oh, no,
you
actually,
would.
I
yes,
would.
Yes, you would.
No, you know what? I would.
You would.
Yeah, I would. Go figure. I'm going to go real, but mostly on the side of Gronk. I just think the Brady thing, it's happened. And as you said, it's been 8 years since he skipped this. But he did it 3 years in a row. And I mean, you saw Time Against Time, whatever it was called. You saw that. And, I mean, he was talking all about being with his wife. I think he's off in some island right now.
He's off in Qatar doing charity work.
Okay, so that's not really an island, is it?
No, but he's going to be back tomorrow when he's still not expected to come.
Okay. Well, if he's in Qatar today, it's going to be a tired puppy trying to show up for football tomorrow. But I get your point. But the Brady thing doesn't concern me at all. I think it's just a process of him getting older and giving in to the whims of his wife. I really do, and that's fine. Good for him and his kids. But the Gronk thing, and you brought up the money factor, I think he's trying to make a statement. He may show up tomorrow, who knows, but he's trying to make a statement, at least right now. I'm still not worried about him not playing.
Big deal, because teams don't do this to the Patriots. Teams don't do this to Bill Belichick. And for Tom Brady, who just showed us in Tom versus Time how important football is and how it is, next to his family, 1 and 1A, the most important thing in his life, for him to willingly toss that aside here for X amount of time, and he's not expected to be a part of most of the voluntary workouts this offseason. It's not just this week or not just today's workout. Jeff Darlington of ESPN says, don't expect to see him at much of the voluntary part of this offseason, And that is a big deal because a guy who has placed so much of importance on winning Super Bowls and team building, well, then it is a big deal. Question five, Red Sox are off to their best start in franchise history. Hanley Ramirez has been the biggest surprise for the Red Sox, real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage.
Then who has?
I'm going to tell you if you give me a second. First of all, did you think that Hanley was like the Achilles heel of the team? I'm just wondering. Did you say, oh my goodness, not that cancer again? Look, he's batting 333 or something like that?
At least.
Okay, great. He should be, I expect him to be right around up there 300 or 280 to 300 when the whole season's done. The biggest surprise is one that Price has come back. I thought that was one of the biggest surprises. And you know what the other surprise is? See, you just said surprise. You didn't say good surprise.
Okay.
Jackie Bradley Jr. batting 191. That to me is the biggest surprise because I never would have expected that he'd hit that bad. Come on now.
47 at bats. The guy's never hit.
But the show's today. So when we look at it today, those are the two biggest surprises for me.
Jackie Bradley, if he hits 240, that's what he's supposed to hit.
He's batting 190.
I understand that, but he had three hits the other day, and you saw the catch. He made that ridiculous catch.
190 with
right
the three
field.
Hits, though. That's the biggest surprise.
Jackie Bradley is the least of my concerns right now. I think the answer is absolutely yes. That is real. Manny Ramirez. Yeah. Hanley, I wish. Hanley Ramirez, sort of came in kidding. I thought he was kidding about his TB12 thing. He'd lost a bunch of weight. I'm going to go 30-30 this year. And he got off to a slow start. And I came 1 second away from saying on this show that he needs to be gone. I really was. Yeah. I just thought he's just why are they sticking him in the middle of this potent lineup? All he's going to do is just kill us every time through the batting order. But, man, and a lot of clutch stuff, too. Game winners, power. Hell, he has 3 stolen bases.
15 RBIs puts him right up there at the top of the American League with Didi Gregorius and Mitch Haniger of my 8-5 Seattle Mariners. I'll say yes, it is real. Hanley Ramirez is the biggest surprise on this team so far. I thought David Price was going to come back and be good. I wasn't sure that Hanley Ramirez was. This is a pleasant surprise. It's a big one.
I didn't think that Price was going to come back. Even if he came back, I thought the best year he was going to have is like be a 10-10 pitcher.
You need to listen to us. We saw this coming.
Trevor in St. Albans, mistake on Brady.
And he's wrong also. All these people trying to call me out are wrong.
He said he referred to his big deal like he's playing big deal, little deal, or no deal versus real or mirage. Did you say that, Brady?
The question was written, Brady and Gronk skipping voluntary workouts is a big deal, real or mirage.
At least they're paying attention, though.
And Rich said, I think it's a big deal, that's real. And I said, Rich, I agree with you. That is a big deal.
Okay, wow.
But these people are really listening.
I like that, though.
It's kind of frightening.
That. Yeah, I like that they're trying to keep us on our toes.
I still like Trevor, but he's wrong. That's all.
Better not screw up.
I think that's great. I didn't pick up on that, so that's awesome. Brady, what do we got coming up next? Did I screw that up? I don't even know.
The Giants, they're leaning towards taking Saquon Barkley. Is that a good move or not?
And the latest on the possible trade between the Giants and the Bills. We'll give you that also. So all that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, you're not going to give Michelle another Underhill the mistake of the day. It says Brady made a mistake saying RBI. Is it supposed to be RBI?
I didn't realize the grammar and pronunciation
we can't. If pronunciation's a mistake, then I could barely speak. English is a third language for me.
Although she is right.
Yeah, well.
Just saying.
No, I can't do that.
We have had this discussion on this show.
It's crazy.
Through 4 different hosts in about 8 or 9 different years.
RBIs.
About the term RBI.
Isn't the station only 7 years old?
I think it's 8 this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I said 8 or 9. Whatever.
Mistake.
That's a mistake. You're right.
Yeah. Zach and Bristol said, I think the Giants should take Saquon Barkley. Sorry, Arnie. I know you want a quarterback. But Manning isn't done yet. What's the latest on the Giants? What's going on there?
Well, the Giants, they appear to be kind of hovering around the decision to take Saquon Barkley. Dave Gettleman says they view him basically as a Hall of Fame type player, which is what he said the requirements are for the number 2 pick in the draft, a transformative talent. They picture him as Ezekiel Elliott without the character flaws.
Well, fortunately, they're not going to have to make that decision because, yesterday on the show, on my national show, we had a story.
A quarter of a billion
people. We had the story about the Buffalo Bills have according to the guy who put it out, I can't remember his name right now, they have worked out a deal. It won't happen until the day of the draft, and that involves the Buffalo Bills trading up to the New York Giants, taking the number two pick, while in return, I'm assuming Buffalo has to give up their two first-round selections. They also have two second-round picks. I'm sure they're going to have to give up one of those also, and I don't know if the Giants are going to trade back up. I think the Bills want to use that to get Rosen.
Yeah.
Or now they're saying Sam Darnold because people are saying Cleveland likes Josh Allen. I don't know what the truth is anymore. I still say it's going to be Darnold and Rosen. I'm just going to stay committed to that. I can't go with all the bogus information out there. I can't decipher what's true and what's not true. But I do know I think the Giants are close to pulling that trade, and they're going to announce on trade day. I always told you the Bills or the Patriots or the Cardinals were going to trade up to get their quarterback.
Well, I do not think the Giants should take Saquon Barkley. I can make value. I can make sense of the Giants trading the pick. I can make sense of them drafting the quarterback. I cannot make sense of them drafting Saquon Barkley. As good as he is, as generationally good as he might be, the Giants are not one piece away. Right. And if you're going to go and draft a skill player that high, you better be one to two skill players away from winning a Super Bowl. And they're nowhere near that. So what? I'm going to have a great running back for 2 or 3 years while I rebuild everything, and then he's going to have 2 or 3 really good years left by the time I have a chance of being good.
The only defense there, look what the Cowboys did. They didn't know Dak Prescott was that good. They still took Ezekiel Elliott, and now look at the 1-2 combination they have right there.
And now look at Ezekiel Elliott, though. Ezekiel Elliott missed six games last year.
Right, right.
And that wasn't for injury.
Right.
So, and you look at what happened in that Cowboys season when Ezekiel Elliott was unable to play. I can't put number two in the draft when I'm not one piece away on a guy that – it's running back by committee now. I've said this is that's why I like the Patriots. I like teams that aren't dependent on one running back. You hate it.
I love a good running back, yes.
Look at what happened, though. You depend on Ezekiel Elliott. He's gone for six games. Season goes in the toilet.
You can't blame that on, not me, but on the coach or GM. You can't blame that on them, can you?
My Seahawks went down the tube the minute Marshawn Lynch stopped being the player that Marshawn Lynch was.
Right.
When great running backs are unavailable to you, your team has a chance to go in the toilet.
Well, you're making my point there, yeah.
Right, so I'll take three good running backs over one great one, and I'll get it at a fraction of the cost.
The key, as you said, is that they have so many holes to patch right now, and I think what Arnie said earlier, unless they're completely in love with Darnold and Cleveland immediately decides to take Rosen with the first pick and they can't control themselves, so they have to take Darnold.
Right.
I would absolutely trade that pick to Buffalo. What are we talking? Mid first?
Buffalo's is
12 and 21.
Oh my gosh.
And
a high second round pick. Absolutely. I mean, that's going to patch a lot.
They have two second
round
picks. I'm going to assume it's the second of the second round picks. Okay. I'm just guessing.
But look, if you can get the 12 and 21 or whatever it happens to be,
right?
I would absolutely do that. That's not a team that needs – a running back is not going to fix what ails the Giants. And I don't think – and I know you guys probably disagree, but I just don't think Eli's done. I don't think they – I don't think you can draft at number two a quarterback and then sit him for 2 years.
Well, you could also take a quarterback – Mason Rudolph, I mentioned that. There's other quarterbacks you could take in the third, fourth, fifth round that maybe you think is going to bridge the gap there if Eli Manning is going to stay. I really think the Bills, though – are going to get the steal of the draft. As much as I don't want to trade all those picks, they're going to get the number two pick. They're either going to get Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. And the Buffalo Bills are going to be a team to be reckoned with when they have the franchise quarterback on their side. I mean, think about that, Brady. That's a big-time name going to Buffalo.
If it happens, I'm not in love.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with Josh Rosen.
And they're giving up all their high draft picks to get him.
Yes, they do.
They have a quarterback and nothing else.
Two number ones and a number two. And who knows what else they're going to have to give up there. Last story standing coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, so many texts right now or tweets. I can't get to all of them. Brady, first of all, tell everybody who got the mistake of the day.
It's going to be Michelle in Underhill.
Michelle.
The grammar police is victorious.
She decided to be the grammar police. We got a bunch of submissions, but... I'll give it to her.
All right. So Michelle in Underhill, tell her she qualifies for.
You just told her she qualifies.
She wins nothing so far.
For the 101.3 ESPN baseball cap.
All right. So thank you very much. Get to last story, Stanley, because this is unbelievable.
Yeah, the weather is playing all kinds of tricks on the baseball schedule. Six games were postponed yesterday, more so today. The Blue Jays have already postponed a game. They have a dome, by the way, because their roof is leaking and snow is falling through onto the field. So that's one problem. And then two, yesterday, last night, the Royals team bus, they have two team buses, and they were traveling, and ice came off one of their team buses, went through the windshield of their other team bus, hit the driver, and the driver was unable to continue driving, and former Red Sox pitcher and now Royals reliever Blaine Boyer had to continue driving the team bus with part of the windshield missing, it sounds like.
Unbelievable. Wow. That is, and I don't even want to make joke or fun of it after what we've been through, you know, with the bus crash up in Canada. That's just, I mean, that's very scary. That's unbelievable.
And the Toronto situation isn't just a hole in the roof. What's happening is ice is falling off the CN Tower, which is directly above the Rogers Center.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It crashed through the right field roof, sending panels right into right field.
Oh, jeez.
So you can't possibly play with that possibility.
Hey, one of the last stories that we didn't get to, there was a golfer that missed the cut by one stroke. And that's because he got a double bogey on one hole. Now you're like, well, that's too bad. You get a double bogey on one hole, that's too bad. He got a double bogey on one hole because one of his shots hit a bird. And
Should that be a birdie?
Yeah, good. You go look at that. You hear all week there, Rich? Yeah.
But trying to veal.
The ball bounced away, and he ended up getting a double bogey, and he missed making the stroke by one. And he asked for an exemption. They wouldn't give it to him.
I think PETA then called him.
Yeah. I love it. All right, let's wrap it up. Any interns today?
Nathan.
Nathan. Thanks to intern Nathan.
By the way, we've just finished our summer intern schedule. We got a whole crew. They're going to be here all day long every day.
Wow, look at that. Finally, somebody to get me Chinese food. I love it. That's good.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
What you do, too. When they start, you intimidate the hell out of them.
Yeah, and thanks for all the doctor advice. Nobody sent me in one doctor to go see
I
my
gave ear. You an audiologist.
Yes. I'm going to do it on the air. We'll just have that wax on the air.
Gross.
For Brady and Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.